every time I come over here, it's like, start the recording when you get in the door. I feel like I'm inside your mouth right now. It's starting to get hot a little early, I think.
Oh, close that window.
Oh, that's definitely not what I meant.
Yeah.
The sexual tension between us, I don't know where it's coming from, but Ace.
It's mostly coming from you.
Yeah, but, it's all you, Eric.
I did bring it today.
Frankly, I'm enjoying it, so.
Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang. Not sitting next to me is Heather Henderson. She's in Las Vegas having a wonderful time, so I'm on my own tonight. In other words, she's abandoned me. You know Heather from the No God Band, the Inner Tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net. If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the blog Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year. Subscribe now, or Heather won't be here ever again. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. At nighttime in the Studio City tonight, we have Dylan Brody.
Eric, playing the part of Dylan Brody.
You will be. Eric 13, Ron Swallow, and Shelley and Danny Siegel.
Hello. Yeah, hi.
You know these folks from the world of reason.
Reason. I got a lot of anxiety just now sitting here when you started that. I was like, oh, fuck, I hope I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, no, because you're in Heather's seat.
Right. Yeah. I got really... You guys do these intros so wicked fucking fast.
We do do that.
That I just popped up like, oh, my God, what are they doing that I don't even know what's happening?
Like, I'm sorry, did you introduce Eric as Eric 13?
That's his name. With a T-H, an I-R, and a T-E-E-N, if you must. But it's actually a 13.
Wow.
Got some numericals there. The DMV, I don't think I told this last time I was
you
on your
not.
Show. The DMV could not figure out, it's actually 1-3 is my last name. And the DMV...
The numbers, 1 and 3.
How did that happen?
When they go to, that's another podcast.
Are you a clone?
He has no belly button.
I want to
no
tell you guys about standing in line at the DMV and people are asking me sci-fi stuff. I don't know. It's as if you want a more interesting story than I have. I just don't.
DMV.
Yes, and so when I'm you started with the story about being in the DMV, how could we possibly be hoping for a more interesting story?
Right, I love that the show has started out with Dylan being skeptical of your name.
Right. Wanted to set the bar low.
I thought
here.
I'd heard it wrong. I was skeptical of my own hearing. Okay.
So the woman at the counter, when it gets time to punch in the
Denise.
Whatever... Denise, let's say.
Now, were there other names in the role?
No, sometimes I picked the first one for the sake of rhythm.
You don't know this, but Denise is always the throw-in when he's got an open spot for it. Yeah, this is three of clubs. So she looks down at her keyboard at the two numbers she has to peck, and she goes, "Computer won't accept it," and then just looks at me like I have the answer. Then we just awkwardly stare at each other. I'm like, well, that's my last name.
Can you change it to 42?
Try it anyways. And she's like, yeah, I just can't. I can't type that in. What do you want to do?
So she froze up and wanted to know what to do.
So,
and she had your birth certificate.
Yeah.
So right she there. Knew it was your name.
So I go, well, you want to try spelling it out? She goes, that's really smart. That was my trip to the DMV, and probably the best story I'll have about the DMV this whole show.
Do you mind if I explore this topic a little bit more?
I knew you would.
I want to know, firstly, how your family name comes to be 1-3.
I don't have any family, so I just kind of got to pick. See, this is where this becomes a long, drawn-out thing.
Yeah,
right?
You can tell a Reader's Digest version.
So do you have a sponsorship? There's sponsorships on this, right? No LegalZoom, though?
No LegalZoom.
Can I just plug LegalZoom randomly?
I don't care.
Heard about LegalZoom on some podcasts.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, McDonald's lawyers. I can pay a couple $100 and they'll just do crazy stuff for me. So I didn't have a lawyer.
Out of boredom?
I just hired LegalZoom and I thought, it'd be funny if I changed my last name to 13 and just $700 and 4 months of courtroom battles later.
That's not a long story. That's a lovely story.
That's awesome.
A great story.
There's actually funnier stuff in between, but it's really like an hour worth.
So why did you go with 13?
I
would have chosen 42.
Because when I started down the path, I thought the point at which I would have to decide on the name would come much later.
Oh, okay.
And they immediately got back to me and said, fill out this paperwork, first question, what's the new name? And I sat on that for years because, I mean, if you get born with a name and it sucks, that's not your fault. Yeah. But if you come up with a name and it sucks,
I know
it's
nothing
totally
about
your fault,
that.
Right?
Be honest. Right. He has triskaidekaphobia, and he wanted to break that.
Good word.
You know, since this is actually well done, well planned tie-in back to this skeptical show here. I thought it would be kind of amusing. Now, 13 is also a ridiculous name, so by just looking a bad choice in the face and going, I'm going to just pick the stupid one. Then I kind of
69 is
to,
the one.
Right. Well, yeah. Then I don't have to worry about constantly going, but was it the coolest? Well, I'll pick something that's really cool.
No, it is
right
very
now.
Cool. It yeah. is cooler than you think, but go ahead.
I'll get a 90s, like Max Rexler will be the new name. And then like 10 years later, people, what the fuck is this 90s comic book character? So, so I picked 13 because of the superstition thing, because I thought it would be, it's really funny to me that somebody may be born with the name 13, mm-hmm. especially in other countries.
Right.
Might change their name to avoid the bad luck.
Yeah. So also, I love that in buildings that they don't build a 13th floor.
Yeah, right. So
they're like,
do
they not understand what numbers mean?
Right, yeah. right. Well, and the mezzanine fucks that up. The whole thing's just...
Yeah.
But so I want to say fuck you to that. Like,
I have,
no, I'll take that on. Give me
I
the
13th. I have one additional question, and then we can get on with other...
Only if Emery can answer it.
I would be giddy if we spent an entire 90 minutes talking about Eric 13's name.
I'm
so going
to live
work.
Down the street yeah, from yeah. you, by the way. We have to talk about this. So I'll
That's
just come
fantastic.
Over and talk about my name at the top of every show.
Tell me 13 is in your address.
It'll be... we'll talk later. I don't want to spoil everything now. I have a slow stream of announcements mm-hmm. to get out on the show every week.
Great.
In your last name, which is 1-3... Do you capitalize the one?
That's another fucked up thing, right? So I initial everything E13 because that's how it made sense
I
before.
Initial everything E squared.
You are
yeah,
a,
well, yeah, you
a
have another good one.
Cyborg.
You and I started talking a lot because you have, Emery, mm-hmm. you have fucking name problems on the internet.
And there's Brainiac there's just, 13.
There's
yeah,
just,
Facebook,
you know,
Facebook was demanding...
a last name.
Yeah, they wanted a last name.
That isn't Emery.
I had to jump through hoops like never before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
You know, you could talk about the real name policy for a long time. I think there's a lot worse problems than we have on that. But yeah. I do think it's funny that there are these artistic repercussions of, you know, of weird names
yeah.
and things of that nature.
Yeah, so no one ever asked if my name was fake.
Really?
Yeah. Swallow? No one asked.
Yeah.
You'd think they would, right?
Yeah. Is
like,
it?
Is that a stage name?
Well, everyone.
Dick.
I have lifelong friends.
Dick Swallow would be a better stage name. Yeah.
Roger that. I have lifelong friends who can. This is a continual process in my life. Who say every once in a while, every year or two, someone's like, "That's your real last name?" I mean, lifelong. You know what I mean? It's bizarre to me. I don't know why. I don't know how you don't know that if you know me pretty well.
It was funny at TAM, too, because of the fucking badges.
Yeah, the badges.
I didn't even put that together till afterwards.
The badges at TAM 2015, they put your first name in big bold, and then they put your first and last name below it. And that works for nearly everyone. Dylan. And then you can see it's Dylan Brody. And and mine just read Emery, Emery, Emery. So it just looked comical.
Right.
That is awesome.
I also Wonderful. Think that they did that because they wanted to turn us into M16 agents. You know,
I
what's your name? Emery.
I had a friend.
Emery, Emery.
Emery, Emery, Emery.
Okay.
When do I stop saying this?
I didn't know what you were talking about because that's MI6.
Oh, MI6, M16.
What did you say, M16?
MI6, lowercase, I would help.
Yeah, it would. yeah, because a lot of people write 16 using a Roman numeral at the beginning.
Had to consider that, too.
I went, you and I are going to be fisticuffs in no time. I will fight
you
in sepia, sir.
I like that you both fought like Irish style, right?
Well,
there.
I said fisticuffs. That was, that's what
that
he was doing.
That was the fisticuffs.
Oh, shame.
And the joke I just did was
Brendan
from
Burns.
Brendan Burns. You remember him on Green Room? He did that bit.
Yep, he did. I had a friend in high school who was named Holcomb Ward Heard the Third.
No.
Whoa.
And I thought it was a great name.
Yeah.
But when I was going to mention him on stage, because he had, both of his parents had divorced and remarried, and one of them had divorced again and remarried. So he used to send requests home for money as form letters. There were like 9 people that he was asking for money whenever he needed money. So he just write up a form letter and send it off to all of them. And I was going to talk about it when I was, 17, 18, starting to do stand-up. And he wouldn't let me use his name on stage. So I referred to him as Lexington Park Madison.
You had to fake it in. Oh, that's a shame.
Denise Lexington Park Madison.
Denise Lexington Park Madison the 5th. But Lexington Park, I was working in New York at the time, and Lexington Park Madison the 5th is the sequence of avenues.
Right. Do you know Dylan?
I do. I grew up with him.
Do you know Stephen Brody Stevens?
I do know Stephen, and we believe we might be in some way related.
Oh, really?
I'm not certain of that.
Because his name is Stephen Brody.
Yeah.
And then
he went by
recently,
Brody Stevens for a long time.
He went, yeah. Is that right? He went by Brody Stevens, but his name's Stephen Brody.
Yes.
And now he calls himself Stephen Brody Stevens, which I find awesome. He's about to do the show. He's scheduled in a few weeks.
He is totally entertaining.
He's one of my favorite people on the planet.
He is totally entertaining. You have to catch him in the right point in his psychic cycle.
That's right.
I guess that makes sense.
And he's great.
Yeah.
Except for the psychic I don't think that makes any fucking sense. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the cycle of his psyche. It's not a psychic thing.
Dylan Brody wrestles with sanity pretty consistently.
Why have you not introduced us?
Right? And he's one of the most lovely human beings I've ever had the pleasure of hanging out with.
I believe you meant Stephen Brody.
Did I say Dylan?
Said Dylan.
Yeah, you did. I also wrestle with...
I wrestle with names. Stephen Brody Stevens wrestles with sanity. And if you watch his Twitter account, it is an absolutely gut-wrenching ride. Because you can recognize when he's struggling.
Watching him doing stand-up was like that, too, because sometimes
stand-up,
sometimes you'd watch him be, like, the funniest person you've ever seen, and then another time you'd watch him berate an entire audience until they all left.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He's unpredictable.
While it was entertaining to me.
I was going
to
say, he's unpredictable, in my opinion, he's unpredictable in an absolutely beautiful way, because even the uncomfortable moments like that are lovely because he's so real. And so honest, and
he's a good man.
He's such a good man. He's really a great guy. I was on Twitter one day, and somebody actually death threatened him.
Oh wow!
And I don't take death threats very seriously, but I have this almost paternalist
stance you take.
I just don't. I just don't. I think that 99.99999% of every death threat ever offered is absolute and abject bullshit, and I think our best reaction to those things is to just fuck you, you're an idiot, I know you're full of shit, or ignore them.
Do you negotiate with terrorists?
I do not.
Okay.
Just ignore them.
Just ignore them.
Block. Mute.
Yeah. Well, not negotiating with terrorists is logically the right thing to do. You know that, right? I mean,
there's proof.
There's proof.
Although
there's
we changed absolutely. Our stance on that
who did?
This year.
The U.S.? States. When you say we, I'm not part of that royal we, motherfucker.
Right. I mean, we allow people the ability, families, I believe, I'm now just making things up, I believe have the independent ability now to determine themselves if they want to offer up the money. Whereas before...
Well, that's stupid.
You
could be charged of criminal... You know.
Go ahead and offer up the money, and then they will kill them anyways and use your money to buy weapons.
The freedom to be stupid is what we're talking about.
Oh, okay,
here, right. As I drag your show into libertarianism again.
No, it's fine. The show goes there often. I have my toe in there.
It's good.
I thought Shelley was going
to
say something.
Do you think people should have the freedom to be stupid?
Wow.
Absolutely.
I'm into it.
Freedom is freedom. I mean, I just don't... Dylan?
You don't think you should just like stop stupid people?
You're the liberal at the table.
I
who are we
going to
have
am.
An advantage over then if we stop stupid people?
I don't. I think people have the freedom to be stupid. I think people only exercise that freedom when anti-intellectuals who wish to manipulate the stupid convince them that it's a good idea for them to do so. I think that given all of their options and not having stupidity romanticized for them, there are very few people who would choose not to be as well informed as they can possibly be.
Okay. Whoa. Yeah, that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I'm trying to put that together. I've read Shakespeare, and that was complicated.
Well, illustrate.
If thou wouldst, I will in language Ron might understand.
If you talk like Yoda, I'll get that shit.
He can do it.
Basically sounds like everybody...
Stupid people manipulated by the dumb they are.
Okay.
You're saying everybody's an idiot.
No, that's the opposite.
They would want to be smart and aware, but
if they're
people
told how to be it.
I'm saying that
are encouraging them
given
to stay
the
stupid.
Option and being constantly instilled with the idea that there is more to learn and learning more will benefit them, people would take that option. But given the past 40 years of nonstop anti-intellectual propaganda that has been fed through television and film and most of radio.
And schools,
which are largely designed for indoctrination yeah. and not for critical thinking.
Wholly designed. Not 100%.
Not even conspiracy theory style. I mean, like, that's what it's for.
No, there are other schools outside of the public school system.
Agreed.
So not wholly.
The university system suffers, I think, greatly from this.
Some of it, and some of it not at all.
Yeah.
But we can come back to the educational issues in general later. But most of the university system is really designed toward critical thinking skills. And most of the public school system is designed toward multiple choice tests, which allows people to believe that representative democracy is the same thing as democracy, and that socialism is the same thing as fascism. And it creates all these sort of binary divisions that make it easy to feel as though one understands things when, in fact, one has no ability to reason about those things. And then people are pummeled constantly with entertainment.
Man, people must hate arguing with you on the internet.
Oh, boy, I hope so.
They're like, ah, God, this guy keeps making really salient points that I don't understand.
You know, we've taken the most powerful forms of communication in the history of humanity, television and film and radio, and used them to reinforce the least useful understandings of society and life. If you enjoy comedy, then you will get half hours in which the best possible outcome is that everything is exactly what it was at the beginning of the half hour. Mm-hmm. And you get hours that tell you that the best possible outcome is that the police remain in a position of authority and anyone who has a fetish is a serial killer and should keep it to himself. That's all that's fucking learned on television and radio at this point. And then if you like game shows, you're going to literally be celebrating the fact that people are not smarter than a fifth grader and will pay you for that.
Right.
If you're stupid, come on our show and we'll give you some money. And as a result, you wind up with 37% of Republicans or whatever it is thinking Donald Trump is great because he speaks his mind. And it doesn't matter that his mind is full of racist nonsense and sexist horrors and a fascist view of how government should work.
Yeah, but more importantly, that he's a dick. He's a dick.
Do you think he's ignorant or do you think he's calculated?
I think he's an imbecile.
Okay.
I don't think those two are mutually exclusive.
But I think he is the schoolyard bully who genuinely believes that because he got all the other kids' lunch money, he's the smartest kid in school.
Right. All right, real quickly, I need to look something up here. Okay, define salient.
I also want to tackle reproductive salient, health here.
Most noticeable or important. All right, I get your point. Thank you very much. All right, we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, great news. In fact, we have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show or download the first hour for free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you, however, to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. What's the difference between weather and climate? You can't weather a tree, but you can climb it. Oh, Heather put that in. Okay.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry. You'll come.
It's a funny ad, right? It's a funny ad.
That is funny.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dylan Brody, Eric 13, Ron Swallow, and Shelley and Danny Siegel, despite the fact that they've said nothing yet, are actually in the studio as well. Thank you guys for being here, by the way.
Now, Shelley said something.
Yeah, she did
very
jump
quick.
In.
I heard it.
Right?
Yeah. I said hello.
Yeah.
It was
the,
well informed.
We're talking about Trump before the break, and I wonder what it looks like.
Yeah, you remember Trump before the break?
I do remember Trump. I wonder what this must look like to Aussies looking on at this farcical, absurd thing.
Yeah, it seems.
It seems absurd, right?
Yeah.
No, in a way, and in a way not. Because it's hard. Well, often in politics, you don't get somebody who understands the business world up there in politics. So, in other words, people put so much money towards the government, but that money normally is misspent. Or spend in bad ways that don't sort of relate to how things should be run as a business sense. So when you hear that somebody, even though I'm not that informed...
Like Perot? Well, do you remember Perot? You probably don't know
no,
who he was.
No,
we
don't.
Had this big-eared guy, I don't know.
He was a Ferengi.
20 years ago.
He was a Ferengi
from
Star Trek The Next Generation.
I'm all ears. But he was the pre-Trump.
He guaranteed everybody 12 bars of pressed latinum.
Press latinum in every home.
See, I'm 14,
is,
so I don't know if you're joking
is,
or if this is a real
right?
platform.
Government isn't a business.
That's exactly right.
That's the biggest problem is that everyone thinks that if we ran America like a business, it would be better, but that's not
no,
how
but
it works.
But financially
that's not how
would.
Any government
No, it wouldn't.
Actually,
no, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't. You can't. It's
no,
impossible.
It because, see, this is, where we, this is where we all get lost because we have so thoroughly internalized the idea that capitalism is the only option that we start trying to apply it to everything when it doesn't work for the thing it was designed for. Capitalism was designed not as a governmental structure, but as an economic model.
But still, finance should be run in the best way.
And it was designed as an economic model at a time when it was believed that we had unlimited natural resources.
Yeah.
Capitalism can't function without unlimited natural resources.
But still, whatever you do should be managed in a
yeah, but
properly
also,
run way.
It's so literally impossible to run the government in a way where it makes money. I mean, it's impossible.
Not,
because
not even making money, but at least getting the best out of the finances.
There's 500 million people, and you have to have police, you have to have firefighters, you have to have roads, you have to have the structure that is necessary for human beings to survive, and the government has to do that, and they cannot provide enough money to do that. It's impossible.
No, well, but if governments are wasting money,
that's
well,
why there's
what I'm
a debt.
Talking about.
Well, what if there was only 300 million?
Still wouldn't.
I don't like
the goal. If there was maybe 50 million.
Isn't there 300 million? I think that's what we are.
No,
I'm saying that
million.
People are attracted
really?
To
sure.
the idea of a politician
wrong.
Who understands business and money.
The goal of business is profit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the goal of governance lies ultimately in, I feel, justice and humanity.
Yeah, but what about running things in a way that takes the best out of both of those worlds?
Well, then we have to...
Wow, that sounds reasonable.
Then we have to deal with what the best out of both of those worlds is.
A lot of waste going on.
There definitely is, but my understanding of government is that that's next to impossible to do. That's what I've learned, but I'm also...
Poor Ryan. I got to say, Ryan Magnan is not only a libertarian, he's also an anarchist. So this conversation and him not having the mic up there
now has got him losing his mind.
He's just switching off all the cameras.
Just yell something, Ryan. What do you feel?
He's on Twitter going, these guys are such assholes.
He just strongly disagrees. You know, the libertarian view is that true free market. That's Ryan's position. True free market. Does solve nearly all of these problems.
Right,
I'm with you on that.
Hold on,
I'm
Ryan,
with you on
say
that.
It again.
Well, even to say that it can't be run.
Even to say that it can't be run.
Without operating in the red.
I did not say that it couldn't be run without operating in the red.
Yeah, Ron did say that.
I absolutely believe
Ron,
that.
Don't personalize what's aimed at Ron, man, Dylan.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Here's the problem with that free market approach. Mm-hmm. The free market approach assumes that a corporation who can make a better profit if they pollute our water would choose not to pollute our water.
That's the problem I always have with the libertarian view. The problem I have with the libertarian view is that I know numerous examples of bean counters choosing to put people at great risk and in horrific harm, and without some sort of governmental system to check that, and I'll give you the argument that I'm aware of, but without some sort of government system to check that, the average Joe Blow, he doesn't have the power to just use the legal system. Now I'm going back to say, but there's a legal system, the libertarians say. The legal system works when that happens.
If there are no legal regulations, then the legal system doesn't matter. The libertarians don't argue
there shouldn't be any legal regulations.
But
it's not an argument that's made in the libertarian view.
Here's the deal. Capitalism unregulated, which is what libertarians seem to call for and what most Keynesian economics seem to call for. No. Capitalism unregulated devolves naturally into the feudalism from which it grew.
Okay.
Capitalism properly regulated evolves towards socialism.
Now, what he's saying is that when people have money, they're dicks, and they want to keep all the money. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Trump is a great example. He has a crap load of money. You know, want to know why? Because he doesn't give a fuck about anybody else, and he does whatever he wants to do. He fires whoever he wants to fire for his stocks to go up.
I don't think that's the only model, though. I think we talk about that model because it is outstandingly awful. It's the reason.
But it also works. Walmart is a perfect example.
I forgot you're a libertarian, too.
I am. But I feel too stupid to properly represent Ryan's point of view. I will make the case for it. I think, you know, corporations shouldn't be allowed to pollute the river, just like I'm not allowed to pollute the river. So that's where I stand.
Ever peed in a river?
I've never peed in a river.
I have.
Not because it's
I'm as bad as corporations.
Illegal, but yeah, you would.
Yeah. Right. It's putting oil into a,
right.
a lake.
But I mean,
is
I can't.
There's a lot of oil in my pee.
I can't dump a barrel of oil into.
Yeah, I haven't seen your pee. I don't know.
barrel of Emery's pee into a river, and I don't think a corporation, Emery or not, should be able to.
Speaking of which, did everybody see the huge spill in the river in Cleveland or Columbus or somewhere?
Is this Colorado?
The yellow silt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you give people...
Who dumped it?
The EPA.
The EPA accidentally dumped that.
Yeah.
No. I listen,
oops.
I think it's important to be accurate because
we
your sentence
like
suggested
to...
they did it on purpose.
No.
Okay. So Ryan wasn't suggesting the EPA just fucked us all.
But it would be funny.
But they did.
It'd be funny as hell. Yeah. So, I don't know how we ended up talking about this, but
sometimes goes there. Thanks.
Eric was making a point, I believe.
Yeah,
attempting, but this could take all night.
About Trump the dick.
Trump the dick.
Eric
right.
commonly thinks it takes all night to say three things that say a few seconds that take.
Yeah,
never
I don't
mind.
Know. I guess I luck out on the show and accidentally stumbling backwards into some sort of profound something. I don't think that's going to happen.
You might be a better comic than you think. You keep thinking you're going to say things too wordy, and then all of a sudden it's three sentences.
Yeah, no, he's
right. Well,
he's
I fall short
with a point.
I fall short six
that's
sentences.
Basically, the definition of a great joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly right.
Look, I mean, I like the idea of the free market voting. Right. I like the idea of voting for with my dollar. I'm a filmmaker. I like to go see the films that I think will be good or champion things by auteurs and give my finger to comic book movies by not seeing them. And that's my picture of the free market. I don't think that solves every problem government has ever created.
It doesn't solve every problem creatively either.
It also doesn't.
Do you believe that the predominance of comic book movies in the market is caused by the government?
No. I believe it's caused by the free market. I think that's where the free market has personally failed me.
Well, see, for me, it's a great thing because I've been reading comic books since I was a kid, and the more movies they show, the more comic books they make.
Yeah, well, because now they're resetting your universe every couple of years.
Well,
so
they do that.
Know.
They've done that forever. Right. If you've
I've got Paxil for that.
Yeah. Paxil, reset your universe.
I think you just made that perfect.
Indeed you did. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Please go to www.ardentatheist.com. I'm reading a great book on anti-gravity. I just can't put it down.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dylan Brody, Eric 13. Yeah, that's his real name, Ron Swallow, and Shelley and Danny Siegel. I don't know, how often do you guys find yourself referred to as like that? Because I really should be saying Shelley Siegel.
Yeah, that was about the first time, actually.
Yeah,
it's
the first time?
Yeah.
Are you trying to work out
how to take it.
Well,
this is my father.
He fucked her mom.
Yeah, we've heard that one.
So made that.
Yeah, right?
You didn't even do it in alphabetical order. I think that would be Danny and Shelley, would it not?
I guess
you,
it would
you
be.
You fight
but,
for billboarding on that?
No, I'm trying to reverse sexism.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, I gotcha on that.
Good. Yeah, thank no, that's a good call.
Makes
good
sense
call.
For everything.
Your
offend
party
the woman
was
in the room
fantastic
and not on the internet.
Last night, right?
Yeah, last night.
Fucking awesome performance. And the band you put together, oh, I haven't told anybody. So I went last night to your EP release party.
Yep.
And you were on stage with a five-piece band or with you? With Danny.
Yep, five-piece.
Danny in there. Your dad plays amazing fiddle, violin,
He's
I believe they call it.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just wailed on that goddamn thing. And it's really lovely watching you two on stage because I don't know if you're aware of it, but Danny doesn't just stand there performing with you as normally another entertainer would, someone playing an instrument. They perform next to the lead singer. But your dad watches longingly as you perform. He just absolutely can't take his eyes off of you. It's fucking beautiful.
That's what you do, though. You're watching the other musician, especially whoever's the leading, to take the cues from.
Yeah, normally you can watch the other performers looking at each other with disdain and irritation.
Yeah.
No, we saved that for after the show.
Yeah. and when you're watching a live show, you can normally go, oh, man, that bassist and that lead singer have fucked once, and they are not happy now. You can see it.
Yeah. But they only play together for money.
That happened with you guys. It was very creepy.
It's clear I'm not earning any money.
But it's really lovely to watch you watch your daughter play, just absolutely slaying a crowd. I know you feel it. You can see it.
I love it. I really enjoy it, and I'm really pleased that she lets me come on and play violin.
Yeah, yeah. And you belong on that stage. You're phenomenal.
And I think she's an incredible act. She's an incredible performer.
Yeah.
And beautiful
slightly
singer.
Biased.
And no, I'm not. I'm pretty tough on her, actually.
Yeah.
But I think she's amazing. Amazing singer and songwriter and performer.
Yeah. We're going to have you do a song tonight.
Yeah, that would be great.
We absolutely need to get it. I want to get it in the free version of the show, not in just the premium. The new EP is just phenomenal. I just love the music. Absolutely perfect.
I need background here. I don't know about this.
Well, first off, where can you get that EP?
That's exactly right. Is it released yet?
Yes. It's available from my website, shellysiegel.com.
Shelley is S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. A lot of E's, a lot of L's.
S-E-G-A-L.
S-E-G-A-L.com. Go check that out. I didn't even ask for permission, but I taped one of the songs that you did, which was it from the EP, I think?
Yeah.
I smell litigation.
This is why capitalism doesn't work.
Can
this
I have, what was crony. Your lawyer's, your legal?
This is LegalZoom.com. I'll send you an invoice.
I did, after posted, I did on Facebook send you a private message saying, is it okay? And you'd also liked it, so I presume that was a... Yeah.
She liked all the money.
I liked it,
because,
yeah.
I like this. Which song was it? It was...
Sidelined.
Yeah,
That's my current single.
Yeah, that's a song. I can't imagine that song not being a hit. I just can't imagine that song not being a hit. I know you're not supposed to say that shit. Sorry. But I'm not really a superstitious guy. You know what I'm talking about, Eric 13.
Yeah,
anyway.
We're not superstitious. Oh, you've got a couple of things.
No, I like 13, actually. I've got to admit that. Yeah.
Oh, you go the other way on the 13 thing.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back to 13. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah.
And also, what about on the buildings where they don't have floor 13, they have
the
14?
Ron
but
was
don't
talking
they
about
realize that.
Yeah. They do realize that numbers don't stop existing.
Well, right. I don't know why someone who has billions of dollars, Donald Trump, hasn't built a building that has a lot of floors, including 13, and rather than just naming floor 13 floor 14, making floor 13 unavailable for use. That's genius.
Yeah, yeah.
You would be the coolest fucking
like
building
premium.
In the... Yeah.
Right?
No premium. No one should be allowed to go in it.
Yeah, and you'd also start some conspiracy theory that something's happening in that
all
place.
All kinds of stuff.
All would love to be in that
great
building.
Idea.
Here's my start a conspiracy theory idea.
Okay.
And I urge everybody to start doing this. When you've got the friend who starts telling you about their complex conspiracy theory about mind control and FEMA camps and all that crap.
Yeah. All the stuff that really makes sense.
Your friend, Alex.
You explain to them that you're not saying it's happening, but if the government could read your mind and if a tinfoil hat could protect you, the proper disinformation campaign would be to tell everybody that wearing a tinfoil hat is an indication that you're crazy.
You know, this is
genius right there, bro.
Thank
this
you.
This is the same as my God versus Satan argument. The Bible claims that Satan is the great deceiver. There is no greater deception than to convince an entire species of people that you are God when in fact you are Satan and vice versa.
Yeah.
So if that's true, if the greatest deception ever has been perpetrated, everybody's worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping God.
Hence capitalism. Hey-o!
I find that whole idea baffling because I am so thoroughly an atheist that people tell me they believe in God and I don't believe them.
Yeah?
I have that sometimes.
I'm just baffled by the whole idea that people could think this stuff makes any sense at all.
So, Danny, what do you believe in?
I believe in my daughter.
Good answer.
Well, I got to say, she is a god.
Shelley,
the most
one,
points over
God,
here.
Zero.
Yeah, I, you know... my immediate gut reaction to that is, I first need to ask you, there are Christians who have developed this argument, the one that you just made, in the reverse.
Yeah.
But they do it based on Scripture. In Scripture, it says that that God has written the fact that he exists in everyone's heart. And therefore, no one can possibly disbelieve in him. And so Christians argue that there is no such thing as an atheist, based on that.
So you're just denying your soul, what you know.
Right. And I would argue...
That sounds silly, but go ahead. To me, that makes no sense at all, but go ahead.
Well, I would argue that you just did that. You just made that argument, but I need to get clarification from you to make sure I'm right about that. You said, I don't believe them when they say they believe in God, because you find it so silly.
Yeah,
it's so absurd.
It seems to me...
It's exactly the same thing, you know.
So you don't believe it's possible...
It might be.
...in their minds that they really...
Seems to me that it... Simply because of my experience of the world, it seems to me that that belief would require a willful refusal to accept the evidence and their own thought process, their
but
own critical thinking process.
But if you've never been exposed to
but
the
nobody
evidence.
Does have critical thinking.
If you haven't been taught critical thinking and you haven't been exposed to the evidence or any ideas that challenge that worldview, it's quite easy to just...
I'll give you an example. Well, I was married to a lady who's was an atheist when I met her. And the reason she was an atheist is because her Catholic parents were also teachers and told her to think for herself and to read things. But they believed in the Bible so strongly that reading that just made sense to them. Mm-hmm. So they just thought that their kids would read the Bible and believe in it because it made sense to them. Well, that didn't work because my wife at the time read the Bible and was like, well, it clearly hates women. And then they also took her to a Pentecostal thing where, you know, people talk in tongues. And she had to fake it because people would get mad at her for not talking in tongues. So she got up and faked it. And then someone stood up and pretended to translate for what she was saying. And that immediately was like, well, now I'm done. Now I'm 100% done. As soon as that happened, she was an atheist from that point on. I don't know if she is anymore. Because we're not in contact.
That's an amazing story. I love that story.
Yes, I recognize that somebody who is... raised in a tradition that I would find absurd and deceitful, might carry that with them until they developed adult critical thinking skills. Mm. I think every human being is capable of taking the world in around them and seeing that...
Seeing it the way you see it.
Yes. seeing the flaws in any... singular deity concept that has ever been presented.
So there's no flaws in anything you do. Whatever you do, there's no flaws in it. Whatever you think,
haven't you been listening to him on the show? I mean,
sorry?
No, I
don't believe
argument.
I have ever claimed
so
that there are
show,
no
yeah.
flaws in anything I do.
Okay.
But his thought process on God seems flawless.
It's flawless. That's
well,
right.
The thing that hangs me up, just really quick, my hang-up's a little different in that I hear people talk about, you know, they believe in Christ, they believe in the rapture, they believe in everlasting life. They have a retirement account.
I've got nothing.
I mean, I just
I believe
don't
in rapture.
Understand.
I have two girlfriends.
Yeah, right.
yeah, that's how I'm talking about. High fives.
But, hey, there you go.
You know, why in a world where God is coming back in the next 5 or 10 years, why do you
it's
have
always
a,
the next
a
five
savings
or 10
account?
Years. Has been
why
for 2,000 years.
Why go to college? Yeah. Why, you know, I don't understand why you would plan for a future.
And that brings
if you
us
really
back
don't
to justification for and romanticization of ignorance, of anti-intellectualism.
I know enough Christians to tell you that their belief on that is that what they like to believe is that they still have to behave like good people, at least some
well,
of the Christians I know.
Good people, though. Good people who are planning to be alive in 40 years and not raptured.
No,
they have
to make the world a better place. And that's by improving yourself in every way that you
can. No, hold on. But by putting money in a checking account? Right,
to improve yourself in whatever way you can, educationally,
and
the philosophies, the ideals within the various religious philosophies around the world, they all have answers for those questions. They within their structure, within their dogma, within their ideals, they all have answers for that complaint.
It's a religion thing, Emery. I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
I'm
I know. Well, of course
none of us are buying it, but
not none of us. Danny believes there's a God.
There's a strange bit of logic to religion in a lot of ways. And I grew up in the thing The Secret's based on, Science of Mind. Ooh. And so there's a bit of logic to even that sort of thing, where they were like, well, we don't like traditional belief in God, but we like this idea that maybe there's some steps I can take to make myself a better person and have control over my life.
Right.
So it's like it's
the fact is the human being doesn't need logic to be accurate.
No.
They just need it to feel right.
And have
a couple of
patterns that they think meet together.
Right.
Like
right.
That's all they need.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel that we should all have the utmost respect for whatever superstitious bullshit anyone wants to believe in.
I don't necessarily have a respect for it, per se, but I try to understand it because I have to hang out with those people.
Yeah. Well, I believed from a very young age until I was 19. And as a young person, I used to pray. I used to talk to this being that I thought was there with me and ask them to make this guy like me or whatever. And like, you know, the really serious stuff. And I used to write songs to God. And then I don't believe that at all anymore. And I think it's, you know, I kind of long for the space that my mind is now filled with prayer and other nonsense could have been, you know, filled with much more interesting and relevant things to the world around me. But I am glad in a way that I can still relate to people who have been through that experience, of people who do see the world that way, because they're, you know, I don't want to discount people just because they have a particular lived experience.
I don't hesitate to discount people.
Yeah.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I'm more in that group, but I mean I can have a relationship with someone who believes. I have so much respect for Danny, and I know that he's a God believer. He's on the show many times, and he's so I don't I do discount your beliefs though. I think the other way around. I respect you immensely.
Yeah, and the thing is, if I don't believe the same as you, that doesn't mean that I can't have respect for you.
That's right. Absolutely,
you
know? Right. I don't think you are an idiot
for believing
what you believe.
I'm not sure about you.
I'm not sure about me either.
Well, I go along with that.
I think you are a brilliant robot.
Shelley, will you play us a song?
Yes.
And Danny, will you play as well?
I don't know. It depends what she plays.
All right.
Yeah, we haven't been.
I'll try and join in.
Well, since you were talking about your wife's experience, that made me think of playing this song. So this is a
former wife.
Is former wife. Former. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just stress on that bit. So this is a song from my first album, an atheist album, and I wrote this song about my experiences as a young woman in Judaism. We went to an Orthodox synagogue, and we had gender segregation. So the women will sit upstairs, or if you can't make it upstairs, you'll sit up the back with a curtain in front of you. And you weren't allowed to participate in leading the service. A woman's voice in Orthodox Judaism is not allowed to be heard unaccompanied. And there was a prayer.
Is that why your dad's accompanying you?
Well, he's not singing at this.
Thanks.
And at school, primary school, I went to a traditional Jewish school, not an Orthodox school, but we said this prayer every morning. It was a call and response between the boys and the girls. And the boys would say in Hebrew, "Dear God, thank you for not making me a woman." And we would answer, "Dear God, thank you for making me what I am."
Wow.
And so just these little flashes of what it was like for me and what I've heard from other women of their experience of being in Abrahamic religions. And so this song is about the way that Old and New Testament talks about women and women's roles. It's called Eve. The Bible tells me I was made for and from man, and I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will. I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, 'cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting. Bible tells me I must be silent, you can't hear my voice. My role has been divinely defined, and I have no other choice. professor. I may not be a teacher of man. I must cover up my shame. These are the laws of the one who in vain I cannot name. He tells me my place with everlasting grace. Am I punishment for wanting to learn? Is a painful birth from which I may not return? The Bible tells me that I am unclean. I am impure, you cannot touch me. And it has nothing to do with where I've been. It is part of who I am. It is because I corrupt man. I was asking for it just by being a woman. He tells me my place was made for and from man, and I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will. I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, 'cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace. It tells me my place with everlasting grace.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Shelley Siegel. What's the name of that? Eve.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptical Yours on SkepticalYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement. This is a big super shout-out to all of our listeners from last week that I will be reading because Heather was unable to make it in. Sasha Luna, Mayan Negrong, at atheist underscore bot on Twitter, Sixball, Michelle, Paradelialia, I don't know how to say it. Kyle Delaney, Amanda B. Reckon With, that's cute. Travis B., Molly, Kentucky Atheist, Vampire from Nazareth, Emery Fisted Me, oh God, stop naming me. Deepox Schmegma, Lord Anthrax Ravensnatch. Thanks for being there, everybody. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dylan Brody, Eric 13, Ron Swallow, Shelley Siegel, and Danny Siegel. There we go. You're individual people now. I've fixed that.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
There's something kind of endearing about hearing you say everybody.
Everybody?
Yeah,
I did. I did the everybody. Yeah, that's Heather's
nice.
Thing.
No, it was nice.
It's really cute. I'm bi. I can do that. So,
I can't do that because I'm straight.
I don't think you understand what bi means.
Free license to say everybody. I mean, that's.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I have license to say that.
Yeah.
Well, I have
might,
a cat.
You might
Let's hear
bi.
It. You have a cat. You probably
his,
can say
his
it.
His name's
Let's
Goku.
See
I sleep with a stuffed animal. I don't give a
Whoa.
Shit.
I'm pretty sure you could say it.
I'm manly as fuck. Everybody.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Man, just without hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right out there.
Everybody,
Dylan, can you
everybody
say it?
Can
I can say everybody
my.
With no effort.
Wow. Yeah. I don't understand what bi means.
Yeah,
no. No, I'm pretty sure you do.
I'm pretty sure I do, too. Oh, man, that was a great song. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We'll do one more song in the premium version.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're okay on time, aren't we? Yeah. I want to get to something that I want to make sure we don't forget to do on the show today. Apparently, Bill Nye the Science Guy is trying to make a movie, trying to raise money to make a movie, and with that in mind, he decided to make a video of it. Go ahead.
That means he's bi, doesn't it?
Yes, it does mean he's bi.
That means I'm a whole lot of bi.
To make, yeah. How are you spelling whole? Nice. He decided to put out a video of him reading some of his hate tweets.
That's awesome.
I think it's fantastic.
Hi, Bill Nye here. I'm just reviewing some of the mean tweets people bother to
the music's
take the
good.
Time to tweet about me.
That's the Globetrotters.
Listening to Tifus Bus.
That's sweet
Bill Nye
Georgia
sucks
Brown.
Butthole. Did not know that. I fucking hate Bill Nye, the asshole guy. Fuck that misogynist twat. That would not be a good usage of twat. I'm not clear on that. So she's probably in a hurry. Here's a mean tweet. Bill Nye made me hate science to a whole new level because you thought it was fun, and I think it still sucks. I hate Bill Nye. That guy is so annoying. Like, so annoying. When I want facts about global warming, I mean climate change, my go-to guys are mechanical engineer Bill Nye and political hack Al Gore. And Al Gore is one word, Al Gore. This person thinks that a mechanical engineer is somehow not qualified to accept the overwhelming scientific evidence. And this, what's the deal? Somehow, if Al Gore hadn't made the movie, the world's climate wouldn't be changing or something? Great. Bill Nye wrote a book called Undeniable. I will forever hate him because he did not name it Undeniable with the N-Y-E-able. Hey, person. Sorry. You pretend the global warming fairy is real even as you live in a mansion. Maybe do cartwheels for voodoo. I don't know. I'm not sure where that comes from. Yo, Bill, global warming is fake and evolution is a conspiracy. I have to say, I think you're completely wrong on both counts. I'm sorry you're cluttering up the internet. Bill Nye the Science Guy is trippy as fuck. Now, I don't know exactly how trippy fuck is, but I imagine it's excessively. I hate watching these Bill Nye videos. I'd rather watch paint dry. And it just says I. And I got to tell you, have you ever watched paint dry? Let me ask you something. Does it dry from the top first and the bottom later? Or does it dry from the bottom first and the top later? You could find out. You could observe it for yourself.
Bill Nye, the science guy, he's got a Kickstarter going on, so look it up. And if you're into Bill Nye and you want to see what's going on, you didn't like the fact that he was having a resurgence, did you?
I believe the joke is Bill Nye washes paint dry. On the upcoming show, Bill Nye watches paint dry. Is that what his movie is, or is it a different thing?
Yeah, I don't think that's the movie.
No, I watched Bill Nye as a kid. And, I think I did. I probably did. I'm the age that would watch Bill Nye.
That's really funny. You're not even sure you watched Bill Nye.
I'm not really sure. No, but Bill Nye came back once I was way into skepticism.
Kind of a resurgence.
And, and was doing something different and good with his career. And I had this inner fucking awful feeling for no reason that, you know, here's a guy who wants into our club. And yeah. I don't know where that feeling came from. And, you know, I got
so you
over
didn't like him at
quick.
First when he was making his
yeah,
research.
Yeah, he was coming back, and I'm like, you know, we're doing stuff here, and you were doing your thing and our rebranding. I think I smelled the rebranding.
Yeah.
And part of me was cynical about that.
Uh-huh.
And now he's doing fucking great stuff.
Is that like when you just hate a band because they were underground
exactly,
and then they got popular even
is.
Though their music didn't change a
that's
bit?
All it
and
is.
You're still like, fuck them.
And now
for
I'm signing up and buying that Faith No More album and listening to the new
badass.
Dre. And
I do not know Bill Nye played with Faith No More.
No.
I have loved Bill Nye since Bill Nye the Science Guy, which I was too old to watch, but watched anyway.
Right.
Because I thought it was a
very
cool show.
No, I'm just wrong here. I want to
jump on the Nye bashing for a moment and say, isn't the reading mean tweets about oneself Jimmy Kimmel's intellectual property?
No, I don't think he owns that. No.
I thought that was the whole extent of his intellectual property.
That may be the extent of what he thinks is his intellectual property, but no, I don't think he has the rights to that. And by the way, I'm not going to pull it up and run it now, but if you have not seen Dawkins read his hate tweets, you must do it.
Oh,
you can also see Heather read her hate mail.
Oh, she gets hate mail?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody sent me any hate mail.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you checked your Twitter? I've been sitting here all night.
I don't think you're right.
I'm also not popular enough for that to happen yet.
I'm on a campaign to get you more Twitter
followers.
Dude,
I'm so funny, it's ridiculous. I'm really good at comedy.
You should be tweeting that.
Very
Are you
funny.
Tweeting
very
that?
Funny.
That's exactly the kind
of I'm really good at comedy.
Yeah. I'm like really good. You guys should watch me.
I'm saying that should be your next tweet.
Yeah.
Pin that right to the top.
I'm going to have, I should might as well just plug it. In January at some point, I'll be filming an hour special. Emery's going to help me do that.
Awesome.
And Ian Harris as well.
Did you talk to Ian yet?
I haven't. I need to get hold of him.
We got to talk about it. I very much would like to be involved. Last time he was in the house, we were doing a taping of Drew's show. Drew Marks does a show called Bad Advice. It's fantastic. I need to get you on Bad Advice.
It's a fun show because you just have to be funny.
Yeah.
That's the best part
about it. It's just silly. And he reads these stories from and then you give advice that's not – it needs to be bad.
Oh, I'm in.
Like on purpose.
I know, right?
And funny.
Right. The funnest part, the most enjoyable part of doing that show is you keep finding yourself going, let me give you some advice here. And then you're giving good advice. And then everybody's like, stop that. That's
you're
not
bombing.
Why we're
you're
here.
You're bombing.
Yeah. That's you're missing the point. Don't tell this person how to fix their marriage. Oh, right. Sorry. Just fist her when she's sleeping. You know, that's what you're looking for.
Can we see really quick, since you have the computing machine, where is Bill Nye's Kickstarter at? I'm very curious about
this. And what is Ron Swallow's Twitter handle?
Dorky
Swallow.
That's as your PR guy, please let me. That's
at Dorky
Swallow. You
want to follow
at Dorky Swallow.
Or you can just find me by putting in Ron Swallow.
That's
your real name. Is that your real name?
It's my real name. Ronald Edward Swallow III, technically.
I'm the second, by the way. Emery II. You can now no longer say no one has ever asked me if that's my real name. I just wanted to be the guy that blew that open.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
He's going
to
keep going.
I'm not sure. I don't have – it would take me a bit to search it. But if you go to Kickstarter and you type it in, you can find it. It's going to be easy. Bill Nye and Kickstarter.
Kickstarter model for films.
It's pretty amazing.
This is very promising.
And you don't have to use Kickstarter. You can go to Indiegogo.
As long as we're doing this, can I just say you have 2 days left? No, 5 days left. On the 15th, we end my GoFundMe campaign.
There
GoFundMe / Sue Trump.
Are you joking?
No.
You're not joking.
I have a GoFundMe campaign. If I can raise $150,000 by the 15th, I am going to sue Trump for tarnishing the brand of America. And if, in fact, I don't make the $150,000, I'm just going to give all the money to Bernie Sanders.
That's awesome.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you
could lower it to $700 and LegalZoom.com will help you out.
I'm up to $250.
Wow.
$205.
You're getting there.
I don't care about the lawsuit anyway. The whole point. Is I'm raising money for Bernie Sanders by making a joke at the expense of Donald Asshole.
Pretty
Trump.
Great.
While we're taking advantage of people, since I have a bunch of atheists here, this is the first time I've been single as an atheist in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you guys...
If any of us want to hook up.
Yeah.
So far, Eric has tried to fuck three of our guests today.
Jesus.
I'm just kidding.
I try and fuck all the men in the room, literally it throws the woman off.
Genius approach.
That's pretty smart.
Sneak in there and fist her at night. I'm so sorry you're sitting here.
I suppose if your goal is to throw the woman off, then...
Right. So what's your dating question?
Well, just basically, how do you deal with when you end up dating or trying to get date somebody, and then you tell them you're an atheist,
you're even
and then they just stop
like
talking
a newly
to you.
Single person.
Yeah,
you're
he
like,
is,
get,
right?
You know, like
I don't even know what it is because I've been in serial monogamous for.
So you're trying to figure out as an atheist now how to enter the dating field.
Yeah.
You're worried about because there's a lot of people out there, right?
Yeah,
we have some advice for you. I think we can give him some good advice. Should we all give him some good advice?
Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, sure. After the break, we're going to give him some good advice because that's it for the free version of episode 99. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We will be making another show that went off without a Heather. We miss you, Heather. That was nice. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Dylan Brody, Eric 13, Ron Swallow, Shelley Siegel, and Danny Siegel. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson. Also, our camera switcher, Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guests will be on the podcast. Heather usually covers
dead
it.
Air. And, dead air.
And
dead
we'll
air
be talking
podcast.
About...
Eric 13.
Different topics, yeah. We'll be talking about Eric. Where can people find you, Ron?
At Dorky Swallow or just Ron Swallow on Facebook.
Where can people find you, Dylan?
DylanBrody.com, at Dylan Brody.
Where can people... Oh, go ahead.
The Dylan Brody at Facebook.
The Dylan Brody on Facebook. Where can people find you, Eric?
It is at _ERICX13.
That's easy. How about you two?
At Shelley Siegel.
It's that easy. At Shelley Siegel. We told you how to spell it. SHELLEYSEGAL. That's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow her, you sons of bitches. Our music courtesy of the sound editor, the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joker Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Jackass Winner. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery, and she wasn't Heather Henderson because she wasn't here, and we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe. Thanks, everybody.